This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Hall Spencer is the founder and editor of The Hook, online at readthehook.com, and he joins me on the program to discuss the very latest, the news that has come out today in the alleged murder of Yardley Love. Hawes, I guess the day started with the press conference this morning. Fran Lawrence, the attorney for the accused, saying that this was an accident.
Well, that's what a good defense lawyer does, Coy. Get out there with the story that looks most favorable to his client, and indeed he did present his version of the defense used in the Preppy murder case. You may remember from the mid-'80s when a New York young man was accused of killing his girlfriend, and he said it was an accident. And 24 years ago, that line of reasoning may have helped to sow doubt in the minds of New York jurors, because they deadlocked for something like 9 days before the accused struck a plea deal. He pled to an old burglary charge and a manslaughter rap, and that was in the case of an alleged strangling of an 18-year-old. And in this case, the suspect has provided a quite different set of admissions, according to the affidavit for a search warrant. He's admitted that he had an altercation. He's admitted that he sent emails and then swiped her computer. He's admitted knocking her head into the wall. These are going to be very difficult admissions for attorney Fran Lawrence to overcome if he wants to win some sort of exoneration for his client.
The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Your thoughts about this huge story here in Charlottesville, the alleged murder of Yardley Love, fourth-year student at UVA, 977-1070. Join this conversation right now. Hawes, we're also learning today that, I mean, she was found in her bed. It's all, you know, the bloody pillow, the black eye. She's all beat up, and so they're saying, so is the defense really going to be, you know, I admit to kicking in the door, I admit to the threatening emails, I admit to hitting her, I admit to grabbing her, I admit to shaking her, but her hitting her head on the wall, which may have finally killed her, that was the accident?
Yeah, I'm a little mystified, quite frankly, how an attorney can pull that off, but Fran Lawrence is certainly one of the respected attorneys in Charlottesville, and maybe he's got an ace up his sleeve we don't know about.
Yeah. So the Preppy murder case, was that a case of when people are having sex and somebody chokes somebody else? I mean, was that the claim that he accidentally choked her to death while they were making love?
Yeah, and that's where this one differs, because I don't think that he, I don't know what the defense will be, but in this case, it certainly looks. A little different, for sure.
Yeah. We're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook. So we also learned that you're reporting as well that he did take her computer that night. I mean, he left her there in the bed.
Well, again, that's what this affidavit filed by Detective Lisa Reeves says, that he had sent some email messages to Yardley Love, who was at that point his former girlfriend, and swiped her computer. And then after making this admission, the Charlottesville Police Department was able to obtain that computer. So if it's not thoroughly destroyed, there could be some very interesting emails lurking on it.
Yeah, I mean, you could find, I wonder if you could find those threats in the emails and you could show premeditated murder.
Well, again, it's just conjecture at this point, but yeah, if you found an email that contained a threat, and then you have this innocent young person lying dead, it's certainly not going to look good for the suspect in the crime.
Let's bring the callers in. I know we got a lot of people discussing this issue. Discuss it here, 977-1070. Susan is on the line. Susan, go right ahead.
Yeah, there's something I'm curious about. It was initially reported that her roommates thought that it was an alcohol-related incident, and called the police for that. But if she was that beat up and her computer was missing, how did they come to that conclusion, or was that just misreported?
And there's a hole in the door, and you know, there's signs of a struggle.
That is a great question, Susan, and I'm not going to be able to give you an answer for that. The police chief, Tim Longo, has declined to answer any questions. And but I can give you a couple of circumstances that might explain why roommates would think that. One, she was face down on the pillow, and two, it was around 2 a.m., so it's quite possible with lights low, they might not have noticed the holes in the door. But once investigators were there, those things became readily apparent. In fact, one of the holes in the door, the affidavit said, looked like it was in the shape of a fist and had hairs embedded in it, as if from a hairy hand or something.
Or a head.
Well, yeah, except they said the hole looked like it was shaped like a fist.
God, my God.
And then there was a hole at the bottom of the door, which was consistent, the affidavit said, with injuries to the suspect's leg. So, again, we don't know.
With the boy's leg?
With the suspect's leg, yes.
Yeah, hugely. Yes. Is it Hugley or Hugely?
Lisa, how do you pronounce that fellow's last name? I'm asking somebody across the room. Hughley.
Hughley?
Hughley.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Hughley.
Hughley.
I got it. Hughley. All right. Susan, what do you think?
I don't know. The whole thing is kind of weird, because even with low lights, I'm trying to picture my daughter walking in to a roommate's room, and they always know where their computers are, and yeah, that wouldn't be your first thing you'd look at, but...
You'd think they'd see all the blood all over the bed.
You'd see the blood, even if she was face down. I don't know. There's something about this that isn't consistent with how you look if you fall down dead drunk. So I that's what I wondered, why that was the initial report. And I guess we'll just have to wait and find out.
Yeah, we don't know. Susan, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. We're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook, the latest reporting at WINA, the newsroom here and around the world. And at The Hook online at readthehook.com, the latest developments and details coming forward today about the alleged murder of Yardley Love, fourth-year student at the University of Virginia. So, Hawes, what happens now?
Well, the next hearing is not until June. The lawyer for the accused did not seek any bond, and I understand from a source that there's a presumption that there won't be bond in such a serious case as a first-degree murder charge. It's interesting. Unfortunately, the friends and relatives of the victim here have not really come forward. I guess they're grieving privately, and as is their right, obviously. So the public has not really had as much of a chance to learn about this young woman who would have graduated from college in just about 3 weeks. She was from Maryland, just like the suspect in the case. Both had attended private prep schools, and she minored in Spanish. I don't know what she majored in, but she was a standout lacrosse player for the UVA women's lacrosse team. But one thing I can tell you is the state police don't think there's any connection to the Morgan Harrington case, even though the crime scene was just 3 blocks from where Morgan Harrington's T-shirt was found. That's been a topic of rampant suspicion among the many well-meaning people in Central Virginia who would like to solve both of these cases, but particularly the one that's been burning our collective brains since mid-October, when Morgan Harrington, a Virginia Tech student, disappeared from a concert at John Paul Jones Arena. And then, of course, just a few weeks ago, it was revealed that a T-shirt, which initially had been dismissed by some people, including the fellow who found it, as kind of a red herring or unrelated, maybe even a prank, the T-shirt that she was wearing that night was found at the corner of 15th and Grady.
Same neighborhood.
In that same very student-centric neighborhood. And you know, in this case, the the suspect and the victim lived next door to each other. So so this certainly has the sound of a crime of passion. But who's to say that these cases aren't connected? Just there's no evidence that they are, but it's obviously very scary for people to believe that that there could be two such killers in the quiet town of Charlottesville.
We're talking with Hoss Spencer of The Hook. The phone lines are open for you to join this conversation, 977-1070. You've been talking about it. I know you've been thinking about it. Your thoughts about the alleged murder of Yardley Love at 977-1070. Hoss, one of the interesting things are the stories that are just now starting to come forward from friends of this young man and this young woman who were familiar with their relationship. They were not boyfriend-girlfriend at the time of this incident. We've confirmed that. But there's stories that are sort of trickling forward about stories of, you know, trouble and prior abuse, and that he had, you know, a real drinking problem and was violent. And, you know, we're hearing all that come out now.
Well, I don't know about the violence. I know that he has a conviction for being drunk and resisting arrest up in Rockbridge County, which, of course, is near Lexington. I don't know all the facts about that case, but he was sentenced earlier this year to a 60-day term with all 60 days suspended and 6 months of probation. So
for what? For what?
For drinking, for like being drunk, and for resisting arrest.
So he's got a record.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily. Well, the resisting arrest sounds violent. He does have a conviction there, and the drinking. You know, a lot of us enjoy a good beverage from time to time. So I don't know.
Yeah, but resisting arrest. I mean, that's a big charge when you get violent with the police. And
that is a big charge. And he was convicted of that. I lost some of my faith in what that means when they charged that guy who was running away with handcuffs and got tased. They charged him with resisting arrest or some actually a felony version of that. Of course, it was later pleaded down to a misdemeanor. But you know, that's obviously a very different case. But when police can use laws like that to get what they want, it does tend to diminish the public's understanding of what the charges really mean.
Yeah. We're talking with Hoss Spencer of The Hook, the latest developments in the death of Yardley Love, the tragic alleged murder by her former boyfriend. I guess there's efforts now. I mean, all sorts of reporters are in town. You know, there's just news. AP is breaking news. ESPN is breaking news. It's not only a huge story in and of itself, but it's also a big sports story. And there's a lot of reporters in town. I would imagine a lot of them are trying to get to some of the friends. But from what I've been reading, a lot of these friends are just so, and understandably, just so shaken up. I mean, students who, you know, they got exams coming up here and graduations and exams. And, you know, my heart just goes out for anybody who knew either of these kids and their families.
Yeah, it's a tough time at UVA right now with classes are ending later this week. And so a lot of students are busy putting together their final term papers and getting ready to study for exams. It's very stressful. People are up all hours. And you know, here's the UVA campus or grounds, which has every right to be excited about its lacrosse program, with the men's team having won the ACC tournament, and then later this month in Baltimore, the NCAA tournament is going to take place. But it will not take place with Hewley. He has played his last game, and that was a home game on May 1st.
And he withdrew from UVA, right?
And he has withdrawn from UVA. So he will not graduate as expected on May 23rd of this year. And unless his lawyer's got some pretty amazing tricks up his sleeve, he could be behind bars for a very long time.
Yeah, we're talking with Hoss Spencer. Before I let you go, there was a report. The Washington Post actually interviewed this kid back in 2006 when he was a high school student and got his thoughts about the big story with the Duke lacrosse team.
Yeah, Coy, that was really interesting because in the Duke incident, that turned out to be a completely fabricated event. There was no crime at all back in 2006 when an exotic dancer or stripper alleged that she was raped at the at a house by a number of Duke University students, and her story kept changing. And as it turned out, the prosecution was so flawed that the prosecutor was forced out of office. He was disbarred, and I understand that there are lawsuits now ongoing from those students who were wronged. And anyway, to get back to what you were saying, Hewley was quoted in that Washington Post story as pointing out that these guys are innocent until proven guilty. And interestingly enough, his dad was quoted in that same article, and the dad sort of poignantly, now it's poignant, the dad pointed out that he said, regardless of what winds up happening, you have to learn from this experience and take what you can from it. You always have to remember and can't let yourself be in a situation where something like this could happen.
Paul Spencer is the founder and editor of The Hook. You can learn more online at readthehook.com and in the WINA newsroom, WINA.com as well. Thank you, Hawes.
Thanks, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.